Closure for Cage, betrayal for Shades, and trouble for May May, all that and more coming up right now.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Yeah,
DJ, yeah. You got the lights on here, the pageantry. Yeah, my DJ on it, man. That's Tony, that's DJ Tony Tone right there.
On the ones and twos.
Man, he's always on the ones and twos, though. Welcome, listen, everybody, I love that y'all here, man. Luke Cage, season two. I have my lovely co-host, Shaka, cannot be here, but he will be here next week. I'm filling in.
We miss
you, Shaka. That's my man. ladies, can you introduce yourself, please?
Funny Sarai or just Sarai? I'm thinking of my Instagram.
You are funny.
No.
I just call myself laughable. It's like, what? What's your real name? You know?
Zia Anderson here.
How you doing, guys? It's Evan Mack here. We here to talk about, listen, Luke Cage season 2, episodes 7 and 8. Give me your first thoughts, initial thoughts. What's going on? What's running through your mind right now, ladies?
I'm excited because everything's happening.
Yes.
It's all happening now. I love that. These last couple of episodes have like really given us like the meat of the show.
Absolutely.
We're getting into it.
It's getting intense for May May. Like you said, May May earlier. Yeah. It's definitely getting intense for May May and Bushmaster for sure.
Things get hot and heavy as we're nearing towards the end of season 2. We got Luke Cage in that flashback after he falls off the show, as he gets kicked off the bridge by Mr. Bushmaster. Then he's falling down to, maybe to his death, maybe who knows? We don't know if Luke Cage can drown. We don't know these things right now, but he's having.
They say later on that he can't drown,
there
which is weird
there
because in another season he gets sick by smoke. So I would think that has something to do with his lungs.
I'm with you on that.
That was weird.
So it's interesting. So he's starting to have flashbacks. Mm-hmm. You're starting to see how much still what's going on and how he went to see Gaten, his father and his mother. You see his mother that had cancer and how much that's affecting him. I just want to know your guys' thoughts when you first start seeing the younger Luke Cage and then the more the story with the father unraveling. What are your thoughts on that?
I feel like when you have a near-death experience, then you can really see what your quirks are. And we seeing that, I think, as the viewer is letting us know, okay, so his anger is coming from somewhere, his pain is coming from somewhere, and we basically get to see where that all comes from. It starts from his childhood and his dad and his mother, and, you know, now he's trying to navigate as a grown man dealing with daddy issues. So
I really like
that you get to see a little bit more about what makes Luke Cage, because your entire existence is just your previous experiences, and that's how you are.
That's great. I will buy that shirt.
No, it's good. And you see that he ends up in the church. He goes back to the church.
Yeah.
He passes out. He comes back to his father. Why do you think Luke Cage came to his father? Especially because that took energy, that took effort, that took strength to drag his body to that area. Why do you think he went back there?
I personally think that it's because he has nowhere else to go. And also a little bit because I think deep down he does want to reconcile with his dad. As much as I wouldn't agree with that necessarily, he wants to have someone in his life. He lost Claire. He lost everybody. Misty is keeping a very healthy distance. Mm-hmm. So he doesn't have anyone to be close to. And I think he's like, man, my dad is maybe the only person he feels like he can be close to and turn to.
And parents always make you feel better.
Yeah, they do.
No matter if they're good parents or bad parents. Parents always give you this self, like, sense of security. You know, like that's the whole going back to the whole net, you know, being part of is it nest or net? Yes. Like the safety net.
Nest. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. But it's one of those things when the OG left him to take care of his daughter to be the kidney donor, that was his last, like, you know, his last lifeline.
That was it.
That was his last person he could talk to. He can't talk to DW, you know, because he's a young buck, you know what I mean?
And he's going to make a t-shirt out of it.
Yeah, and he's doing his own thing, you know. So you're right. Like his father is his last lifeline. And while he's still there in his congregation, I think he really does want to reconnect. I think something drew him to his father.
Exactly.
You know, and it's good to see that. So then now Piranha gets captured. We wonder, you fight. Listen, we get to the thing where Luke Cage gets mad at his daddy, like, where did Piranha go?
And he's like, he's a grown man. I don't know.
You had one job. Yeah. You had one job.
My job is to this congregation, Zia. I am here for the Lord.
You're ruining your son's life. So, he's like, he's a grown man. What you want me to do? Strap him down?
Yes, I do.
And he's not wrong. Yeah. But yeah, something.
But yeah, his father, I was kind of with his dad on that because Piranha's a knucklehead. Piranha's life is on the line. Piranha had a gang of Jamaicans roll up in a theater and try to take him out.
Yeah.
He didn't know what their intentions was. He didn't know if they wanted to kill him. He doesn't know what Bushmaster's plan is. So for all he knows, his life was on the line. They're shooting at him from the top of the roof, and he leaves a sanctuary.
That was a dumb move on his part. Yeah. Very dumb. I would be like, when you move, I move, just like that. When it comes to Luke Cage, yes. I would not leave Luke Cage's side.
Ludacris,
yeah, I think so. Oh, yes. When you move, I move, just like that. You know what I mean? Like, Luke Cage left, I would have left. Luke Cage would have came back to church. I would have came back to the church.
Oh yeah, my hand would have been on this dude's pocket the whole time, man.
Exactly.
We gonna be holding hands, man. I'm sorry, we gonna get real up close and personal. Yeah. So did he seal his own fate? You believe with this move?
Yeah, he really thought he was gonna get out of the church with people driving around looking for him and get to a private jet without any protection at all.
Interesting. All the way out of all the that borough of New York. People don't know New York City blocks are very big.
Tight.
It's a very you know what I'm talking about? They're long. Like I'm saying, it's an island, but it's a very big island.
Yeah.
You can't just get from Harlem to a private jet like that. So and he had every cab out there. He had everyone watching him, and I was like, this is only a matter of time Bushmaster captures him.
Yep.
So
it's the case where his money failed him.
Yeah.
He felt invincible. He thought his money can buy him the security he needed to get him to point A to point B.
Absolutely.
Money didn't pay for that
Oh,
one.
No. Not when the streets is as hot as they were. Yeah, so, so he gets to the point. Listen, so Bushmaster gets his fish. He gets piranha. Mm-hmm. He's there.
Nice pun, by the way.
Yeah, listen.
Nice pun.
I'm working. Yeah. Yo, Shaka, I'm working it, boy. I'm trying. But no, so he gets to that point where piranha actually, for the first time, I think you really genuinely see like fear. From Piranha, because Piranha, if you notice him, he's always has a little quip. He always has a little joke. Yes. He always has a little something smart coming out of his mouth. Mm-hmm. Like, that's the first time he noticed this might not be a good situation he's in. And Bushmaster, like, makes him sign over, you know, the accounts in his name and take all the money from Mariah. Ladies, talk to me about what you... Did you see this coming? Was this inevitable to you?
Oh, yeah. Mm. I mean, come on. That's why he was going after him. He wanted everything Mariah has, and he got it.
True. I thought he wasn't gonna die though. I didn't see him killing him.
Yeah,
that shocked me.
Agreed.
That surprised me.
That got me. I was like, wait a minute.
I don't know why that surprised me, but it did. For some reason, that surprised me.
Yeah, I didn't think he was gonna kill him. You know what? Maybe because he was a fun character, and I was anticipating seeing him for a few more episodes.
Yeah, he is fun.
But on Luke Cage, man, there's no loyalty. Like, don't fall in love too hard with any character, because you know, I don't know what episode. I don't want to get too far ahead because I saw a couple episodes before. But yeah, I would just say anyone. That.
Yeah, and it's interesting.
Yeah, but anyone can go.
Do you think he killed him because with him alive, he can always do the account thing over again, though? With him alive, he can always still be swayed. Like, Mariah can, like, grab him and, like, no, just change it back.
You know what maybe I mean? He's more just on, like, this crazy vendetta of being like, I'm done with you, you're gone.
So you're thinking like Anansi might be right, like it's like consuming his mind, his body, and his spirit.
I'm kind of
like,
starting to think that.
Yeah, I agree. Trying, yeah, that's a little bit more than he should be doing.
But him alive, he could go back and say, I want to re-sign it or try to do something where he can get it off.
True. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I definitely think he's just on vigilante status.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's just like Bushmaster, just like literally going a little too far.
A little too far.
He's too head happy.
So I just have a question. Like, what would you have done differently? Let's say I'm just spitballing here. What would you do if you're Bushmaster? And is this the plan you would stick to? Would you do the money thing? Do you think this was his best course of action? Let's say you're Bushmaster, Zia. What would you have done?
Oh, that.
Straight up.
Yeah, he's got all the money. That means he now has all the power. As, you know, we know, like, later, I'm sure we'll get to it later, so I don't go too far into it. But he gets the lawyer. The lawyer is working for him then because he has all the money. And Mariah is literally left with nothing. Mm-hmm. And what he wanted in the beginning, his birthright, he kept talking about it, he wanted that club. Mm-hmm. That was his birthright because we find out why.
Story later.
Thank God we finally found that out. We finally find that out. So, I mean, yeah, of course. That's everything he wanted.
Absolutely.
As long as he does it right.
I agree. And him setting it up that way, like what we were talking about earlier, power is money. You know, money is power. Power is money. The best way to hurt someone who puts their power in money is to take away their money.
Absolutely.
And for her, yeah, the club and all that stuff like that, that's her baby. But the money stops her in her tracks.
Yeah. Mm. Interesting in the chat, Rory Fansler says, nope, he killed him. Bushmaster killed a piranha because he's mean and it would hurt Mariah. And then Asia Adams said piranha was like a second son to Mariah.
Oh, yeah. See, that's I like that.
Thank you. Yes.
I like that you guys have two different conflicting opinions because I agree with Asia. Like, I mean, that was her, like, you kept seeing her. She's like, I don't, remember she said the shade? She was like, listen, he parties hard, he does this, mm-hmm. but he would never, like, betray me. Like, I've known that boy since he was in grade school.
Yeah.
And then you find out the things about Piran, like, listen, put him through school. Mm-hmm. Like, he feels like he owed Mariah. Like, I think she actually cared about Piran.
Yeah.
I really do.
And I thought he was going to be one of those backstabbing moments. I thought he was going
to
turn.
Yeah, because you have to really think about it. Think about it. Mariah trusts no one, right?
True.
Yeah. She trusted him to have power of attorney.
Yeah.
Yep.
So you have to really think that I think she did hold him in a higher regard than we think she did because she gave him limited power of attorney.
Which, and unfortunately, he caved pretty quickly.
Oh, he did. Yeah.
That didn't take much.
I'll sign it. Where the paper?
Right, yeah. Right. What do you want me to sign?
I'll sign it right now.
He said, I have professional integrity. He's like, well, no, I don't anymore.
Not
just
so much.
That's very good stuff. That's good stuff. Oh, Ms. Zia, I have to call upon you to talk to our AfterBuzzers, please, before I forget.
All right.
Please.
All right. Hey, AfterBuzzers. Our network produces after shows for nearly all of your favorite TV shows. From dramas, reality TV, sci-fi, and more, there is no network that works harder to serve television fans. But we need your help. We're asking that you please subscribe to one or more of our YouTube channels. By subscribing to our channel, YouTube will suggest content that's tailor-made for you, and you'll help AfterBuzz continue to grow. If you're worried about pesky notifications, don't be, because they're optional. So hit that subscribe button for now. Subscribe button now for this channel and check out our other AfterBuzz YouTube channels as well. Let us know you did so in the comments and we'll thank you on air. For now, thanks for being the best fans and for helping us be the ESPN of Talk TV.
Love you guys. I appreciate y'all, especially y'all in the chat.
Yes.
I read all your stuff though, respond to all your stuff if I can. So please keep it coming, guys. Appreciate
it.
We got Missy and Luke Cage doing a little team up thing. They go to find out what happened to Piranha. They are a little too late, unfortunately, I guess you alluded to. Piranha savagely is in a fish tank.
He's fish food.
Listen, it's funny what you said earlier in our first episodes. You were talking, listen, he does have, listen, Bushmaz has a taste for theatrics.
He does.
He's very artistic. With his kills, man.
Mm-hmm. He's artsy.
he put piranha in the fish tank with piranhas.
Yeah, that was,
that was a great
not
idea.
Bad, not
yeah,
bad.
That was a great idea.
I mean, I felt bad for him, but still, you can't help but be like, wow, bravo.
Because you got to think about it. Before you got to get the piranhas. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That takes a lot of work.
Premeditated. He had this idea.
Got the fish tank. They had to live in the fish tank. He got you know what I mean? Fresh water.
That's true. Yeah.
He went through a great lengths to make this happen. You know what I mean?
So with a name like Piranha, that's the only way you can die, in my opinion. Somewhere where piranhas are nearby.
Well, shout out to him for like, and it's cool. I love that they tell you why his name is Piranha, though. I love that you get to understand why he is what he is. Yeah, they touch on race subtly. You know, they're saying like, listen, I had to do what I had to do because I was living in a Wall Street is a predominantly white
sharks.
World.
Yeah.
And there are sharks there. And I had to be the piranha that just kept taking little nibbles at a time.
Really?
And I made my empire. So I like that they showed why his name was Piranha. Because I was always wondering, why do they call this goofball Piranha? Because it's such a vicious name.
Mm-hmm.
No, so I thought it was really cool. So what are your thoughts on seeing little Luke Cage and Misty, and Luke Cage getting impressed by Misty handling her own business? Like, she's not that one-armed woman that he thinks she is.
Nope. She's not a victim for sure. Definitely not a victim. When I saw her fighting with the one arm, I was like, yes, go. Go, girl, go. Like, she was kicking tail, and I don't know at what episode she started getting like super training, but when I say when she was kicking butt in this fight, it was like she's been training her life. So flawless. And she was keeping up with Luke Cage, definitely.
Yep.
She started to come into her own with the arm. She's starting to realize the arm is not just a prosthetic.
Not just to pick up her teeth.
When she hit that one guy in the chest and he went flying.
Yes.
And was that the moment that Luke Cage looked at her like,
he was like, girl?
Yeah. Nice. Yeah. That was awesome. And you can see too, she was just like, all right, cool.
Mm-hmm.
Starting to find out there's more.
I would do a little victory dance. Yeah. I'm like, pooh, oh, shoot. Yeah. Oh, yeah, right. We're still fighting.
She, she's starting to understand that Danny Rand just didn't give her a hand or an arm. Like, this thing actually has ability.
A weapon.
Yeah. So we got the captain trying to cut a deal with May May.
Mm-hmm. Well, he's gonna forever call her May May now.
When he called her, that's what we're calling her from now on. It's interesting to see what the lengths he tries to go and what he was trying to, like, convey to her.
Yeah.
Still trying to save this woman.
Yes.
Like, tell me your thoughts on him, you know, coming hat in hand, coming to the paradise and trying to be that, you know, that he's trying to be that man that's for his first love.
Yeah. Don't save her. She doesn't want to be saved. Mm-hmm. That's another song.
Oh, yeah.
Right. J. Cole
don't reference. Save her. She doesn't want to be saved. At this point, Mariah has in her head, she's stuck on villain. She's stuck on our certain empire. And he's just too late. He should have saved her earlier on before she became all the way Mariah. Mm. She's no longer May May, in my opinion.
Mm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's one of those things where it's that moment when they're talking to each other, like, he had a chance. He he dated the other woman. Like, he, she was like, you left me for her.
Yeah.
She's still salty about that. That was it. She's still upset about that.
He turned her into probably Mariah.
Can you imagine how different her life had been if they'd stayed together?
That's what's so cool about that.
He would have been a police. She would have been like a police wife.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe still in politics. But still, like, it just would have been such a different Mariah. That's so interesting.
Do you think, good that you brought that up, do you think the Stokes is so powerful, that family is so powerful as far as like how they are internally, do you think she still, no matter what, police wife or not, do you think she still would have fell into crime? Because Mama Mabel's hold,
it's in her blood. Yeah.
Hold on Harlem is just so tight, and how she was raised.
Yeah.
Do you think she would have ever, do you think he ever could have got her out of the life?
I think it depends on the person, but yeah, possibly. Mm-hmm. If you get yourself a good enough guy and you have a good enough, seriously, and you have a good enough support system outside of, because look, she was raised in that, but she makes it sound like a lot of bad stuff happened. Mm-hmm. So it's not necessarily that she grew up thinking it was great. That's just how she grew up. So that was her reality. Mm-hmm. So if you remove her from that and she's like, wow, I have a chance to like live this other life that's different, maybe more normal, maybe more stable, she would have been like, this is great. Mm-hmm. I don't want to go back to that.
Yeah, and you know, Maymay's like she's a victim of rape.
Yeah, that's what I said. I think it's in her blood.
Yeah, yeah. And she's a victim. She's a victim.
A lot of things happen to her.
It's not just about that she was raped. It's like who she was raped by, and that literally has defined her. Like, who knows what could happen? That would have never happened to her.
Yeah,
that she has been devastated by that. That has shaped and molded her. You seen that's what got Cottonmouth killed,
right?
Like, yes. I don't think she ever would have killed Cottonmouth. He said, "You not only did you,
but you liked
you
it.
You wanted and liked it." Yeah, he was like, "That was
which." How dare you?
That was
you.
Too far. Too far.
So it's one of those things where I'm like, you know, that dictates a lot of her. But I think it's interesting what Rittenhouse could have probably done.
You know?
And I like that they kind of touch on that moment. Maybe something would have been a little different. But she turns him down. Too late now.
Yeah.
He kind of gets at her and says, like, listen, does she know how old she is? Does Tilda know how old she is?
I want to know. I want to know now.
Oh, my goodness. Does she know who her dad is?
Yeah.
And Maymay once goes crazy, tells him to get out, tells him to leave, tells him that she'll think about it.
Yeah.
What are your thought processes on him dropping that little? Do you think he's the dad?
Yeah.
He's that baby's pappy.
You think he's the way he says that and stuff like that?
No, he's not. No,
I don't think so. I think
it's Uncle Pete.
That makes more sense. That one makes way more sense.
I think he knows about it, being childhood friends. He was there, you know, picking up the pieces. He saw things that happened. And he could tell how sensitive she is about it. So he's been a part of her struggle with it. Yeah, but definitely Uncle Pete.
Mm. Wanted to touch on another powerful moment I thought in the show is when Bushmaster's getting the tailored suit and Anansi's there. You know, Bushmaster's in his groove right now. He's in his bag right now. Like he's smelling himself right now. He getting the three-piece.
He's getting
a three-piece suit on and he's talking about like what would my sister think about what you've done? And he tells a story about when he was a kid. And he would, one of my most favorite moments in the whole show. And he's talking about as a kid that he used to, you know, come home with his clothes messed up and clothes ripped up. And his mom would scold him and not give him dinner. He goes, but a look in her eyes was pride. She couldn't deny the pride of a look in her eyes saying, like, my mother was proud of me because I protected our name. And I'm still trying to protect our name. What do you think about Bushmaster? You just get more layers. But this is why I love Bushmaster.
That's exactly it.
He's a hero. And his shout. I almost cried when he did that.
Yeah.
That boy makes me cry, man. He's like, my mother loved me. You know, so what are your thoughts on, like, you know, Bushmaster? Another layer of Bushmaster finding out, like, why he's doing what he's doing, his crusade, his efforts to, you know, bring Mariah down. What do you think?
Yeah, I feel like everybody has a story.
Yeah.
So the fact that we get this little tidbit, we're like, okay, this isn't just come out of nowhere. He's not just a villain. He has a past. He has a heart. And I think it wins us over like it did for you. Like your team, team BM.
I have no objection.
You know what I mean?
Right now.
BM in a good way. Yeah. So like, yeah, I think it definitely is incredible writing on the series part.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it gives him I love the backstory that they give him because he's still technically supposed to be the villain.
Yes.
He is supposed to be the villain of the show, but you find yourself empathizing and sympathizing with him and the more it goes on. Mm-hmm. At first you just think, oh, Bushmaster, you know, screw this guy. He's going up against Luke Cage, like Luke Cage, kick his butt. And then you get more into this and you're like, oh, I feel bad for this guy.
We could have been a Bushmaster.
He's been through a lot. Yeah.
I'm telling you, I love that you said that because
we could have been there.
Imagine you on an island, Jamaica, and you're poor. Your mother was killed. You don't have a father.
Look,
you come on now.
Yeah. Hey,
and you say what your life could be like? Because with no disrespect to Luke Cage, man, his father was a preacher. No matter what his father was doing on the side, that's, you know, people try to rationalize. So he was still raising Luke Cage the best way. He had a preacher for a dad,
right?
Like showing showing him the right ways by God. And look what Bushmaster had to deal with. So it's all about, it's interesting to see what you could say what you have done, but if you were raised that way, how would you be?
I mean, yeah. I've got some similarities. I don't know. I was born on an island, poor for a bit. My mom died. My dad kind of bailed for a bit, came back. So like,
there you go.
Yeah, yeah, like I can see. I mean, if I had access to Nightshade, maybe.
Shout out to Zena.
Maybe. Look.
Man, listen, I'm glad we cool on this panel, girl. Don't be coming after me like that. We cool, girl. We cool. And I love the line Anansi says. You know, he looks at Bushmaster in the eyes and goes, "Vengeance belongs to the Lord." He looks right in the eyes, and then Bushmaster said, "Listen, we can have it when I'm done."
Yes.
He said, "The Lord can have it when I'm done." I was like, "Lord, have mercy." Anansi is trying so hard.
He is. Bless him.
Bless his heart.
Yeah, he cares.
Because he doesn't want anything. He doesn't want anything to happen. He loves that kid so much. He doesn't want anything to happen to him.
He's the conscience for now.
Yeah. Oh, Asia Adams, I like this. She said, "I feel like Luke is fighting without a purpose. Bushmaster has a purpose and a goal he's fighting for."
Oh, brilliant.
Oh,
brilliant.
Yeah. I'll feel you, Asia. What do you think as far as that goes? What do you think Luke Cage's purpose should be, though? What should he be doing? Let us know. Let us know. Yeah, but I think she's right about that, though, because he seems more purposeful.
He has no goal.
He's a little more lost. Mm-hmm. Luke Cage, I mean, he knows what he's fighting for, but it's not a very specific thing. He's fighting to protect Harlem. Mm. But now he doesn't know who he's protecting it from. Is it Mariah? Is it Bushmaster? Mm. Is it, you know, everything else that's happening? Mm. So maybe he's a little lost.
He has no end goal. You know what I mean? What do you where do you see yourself in 10 years, Luke? He hasn't picked out his costume yet. He hasn't. I mean, there's a lot of things on the list that Luke needs to do and get handled.
Hating on your boy right now.
You know? he doesn't have a vision for where he wants to see the city in 10 years. Yeah. He's just going to go around. He see crime. I'm going to stay there, be bulletproof, get shot up, and then, you know, help the situation right then and there, as opposed to what's your expansive, you know, vision for 10 years of, you know, let's say crimeless or whatever the case may be of the city. You know?
And the worst thing about it is he doesn't want help, though.
Yeah, he's grumpy.
Like bro, you need some help, man. Like, I can do this on my own. Mm-hmm. I'm a harmless hero. I'm like, yo, bro, like, you can use help. It's all right.
Yeah.
So not only is he taking the burden to Harlem, he's taking it on by himself. Mm-hmm. So you're right. I like the Asia. She's right about that. Like, what is his purpose? I want to know what she thinks his purpose should be.
Got a lot of great guys in chat here.
We've
got EDE. I still don't know how to say that. I'm so sorry.
Eid?
Dizon. I think Claire leaving him threw him off a bit.
Yep, sure.
Yeah, that definitely.
Yep, the OG leaving didn't help, but when Claire left, he was lost. She is like his, you know, his divining rod. So it's one of those things where it's like, okay, now my woman's gone.
He's a bit lost. Yeah,
because she is that voice of reason.
Yeah.
That's why he needs to make amends with his dad.
And he needs to be around something soft. Mm. You know, he's around gentle, crime and shooting and bullets and ricochet. So she's just something like, I'll hold you tonight. And it's like, oh, okay.
That love.
You know,
that's real.
Yeah.
That's real.
That's
good.
Absolutely.
We all need a cuddle, man. Just cuddle up.
Yes.
So Shades finds out who the snitch is. Ladies, ooh. Now listen, I've been dreading this moment since the first time I seen that Comanche was the snitch. I've been, because Shades is my favorite character in the show besides Bushmaster. I was like, oh my God, no. No.
I was
devastated by this.
And it was so sad to see Comanche's like last ditch effort by shooting the police chief. Like he was still
trying to try to sell it.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And I was like, it's not gonna work, dude.
Shades
it's
is
over.
Too smart.
Yes.
Shades is way too smart.
But it was brilliant how he got it, how he shot him. He was like, yeah, okay. Yeah, I don't know anything. You totally fooled me. And he goes there, grabs, because he doesn't have a weapon.
Mm-hmm.
If he does react at this point, he would get shot. Or it would, it's a 50-50 chance he would get shot first. But him kind of going to the body, perfect strategy.
Oh my gosh, because you see what he said. He said, I loved you, you know, because I loved you, I was blinded by it. And then he shot him again. I think it was interesting to see that. Do you guys think, because I think personally, I don't think he had to shoot Comanche.
No,
I don't think he did. I don't think he had to shoot him. That's Shades being Shades. That's why he's going through stuff right now.
Yes,
but that shows his loyalty.
Does it though?
Over, I think it like shows he chose Mariah. Oh, sorry, he chooses that he chooses Mariah over Comanche.
But we gotta think about it though. They were gonna be finding another way to put Mariah down anyway. I think he could have found a way. He could have been like leave. And never come back.
I think that was him denying himself.
Absolutely.
Yes. I like really think that he did not want to face how much he loved him.
Yes.
That's
what it
was. It was lovers.
Yes.
100%. Because with him dead, it's like giving that last, ripping that last thing off. I'm like, okay, you know what? I'm not gay. Yeah. I'm not bisexual.
Yeah.
I'm in love with Mariah, and that's all there is to it. And yes. Let me just cut that last thing off. That's what I think it was, because he is broke right now.
Yep.
He is broken. If it wasn't a big deal, if he was just killing a snitch, it wouldn't have been a big deal.
Nah, just would
have
walked away.
He killed Candace like that. He walked up on Candace, shot her in the head like it was nothing. She was one of the most innocent characters in the show.
Yeah.
I've kind of felt like him letting him go, though, would have hurted his power, though. In a sense, like, oh, you know, you've let this guy live. You know, because in the hood, like, the code is snitches get stitches. Like, snitches.
Yeah. But you got to think about it, though. Who would really know if he let him go, though? Let's be honest.
Yeah, if he just got out of town.
Who really know, though? Let's be honest. Chase be like, yo, Comanche, I can't find him anywhere.
Mariah's not thinking about him. She doesn't care. She doesn't even like him. She's going through her own stuff.
Like, when he killed him, I was like, oh, Shade, you in denial, brother. You in denial. Yep.
The secret dies with you. He's like, boom, boom. You know what I mean?
So I just thought it was a very heartbreaking moment for Shades, man. And Shades, I don't know if he's going to recover from this. I like that we have differences of opinion on why we think he killed him or something, but had to kill him. I just don't know if he had to kill him, though. I've been going back and forth with that. I'm like, Shade, you didn't have to shoot him, bruh. Like, because I was going to try to get us both out. I was going to try to get us both. And I think that's what he was going to do. He was going to find out a way to try to tell him, maybe. Yeah. And he felt that their love maybe could have got him to see that he wasn't really I don't know. I think it was
ultimate disrespect, though. All the years of, or not the years, but all the months of him looking him in the face and lying to him, that's like the ultimate disspect.
And I can see
it wasn't just a simple snitch to the cops.
Yeah.
It was like, we've been hanging out.
Yeah,
I've told you things I've never told nobody about her killing someone else, you know, killing Cockroach.
Yeah.
But
what I think about there's like another layer to it, even though they don't touch on the show. I think Comanche got out of jail just to see Shades.
Aw, you're romantic.
I'm not even joking, because he's in jail. I think he cut that deal just to be next to him.
Really?
Oh, God, yeah.
And then thinking he could get Shades a deal and get him a deal, take Mariah down, and then they're free to be together.
Absolutely.
Yeah. He didn't realize Mariah had him.
What I think. I think he underestimated the bond of, like, Shades. He abides by the street code. You see how he references the old school ways.
Mm-hmm.
He's very old school, but I still think that's why Comanche was even out in the first place. He's like, I'm going to take my chance to be, I want to be with my dude, man. That's my man's. You know,
and he thought they were able to take it in the daylight. And
but
Shades,
he did it a different way. He did it in a way where, you know, it's the most frowned upon thing you can do in the hood. You cannot snitch. If y'all don't know, in the hood, any movie, any gangster, you can't snitch in the hood.
But Lord, if he really knew Shades, he should have known, like, that's the worst thing he could have done.
Listen, you can walk down the street butt naked or with a dress on, but you can't snitch.
Snitch to the cops.
Yes. You can dress and drag, but you cannot snitch.
Yeah. Officer, I saw exactly what happened. It was a gentleman about this high wearing a red cap. Excuse me, mind my purse. But anyway.
Seriously, but you cannot snitch.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Nelly Mac 91 said, nah, he had to die. He was a snitch.
Oh.
Yeah. That's
and then cool. Mr. Henry
has he ever been in love? Tell me, ask me he's ever been in love.
Have you ever been in love?
Stitches get stitches, man.
Then Mr. Henry 84 said, I felt that she was also the angel on Shade's shoulder.
Yes, he was.
Yeah.
Yes, he was. He kept trying to say, look, bro, do you really need this?
Not a bit.
Yep. That's my, oh, God.
That was a sad one, guys.
I'm salty about that one, man.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. So Bushmaster finds Mariah. He finally closes the deal. He finally gets where he's supposed to get. But the best part about it is he finally starts giving you a story.
Yes.
Like the real story, not the little tiny bits. He actually gives, like, you know, he gives like a little, listen, he breaks it down. Like, you know, it's 1952, you know what I mean? He like goes back.
Yes. It was snowing.
And you see Tilda's face while he tells the story. Tell me your thoughts when you start finding out how deep this thing goes with the Stokes and what they really did and how ignorant they were for throwing a Bushmaster bottle through. Like, it's so much stuff going on. Tell me your thoughts when you start finding out what Bushmaster story is.
I have two sides of this. Yes, Bushmaster is right to be upset. And yes, Mariah is a bad person. But how does that connect? Because this was Mariah's grandparents, right?
Absolutely.
She's two generations away from that. Absolutely. She didn't even know that was... She was not around when that happened. She didn't... I mean, I know vengeance isn't necessarily... what's the word I'm looking for? Logic. Mm-hmm. It's not necessarily logical.
Mm-hmm.
But she really actually didn't have anything to do with that. So I thought that was interesting.
Yeah.
Except that she didn't give up the throne. She's sitting at the throne of his birthright. If she would have just maybe said, okay, here it is, I think it would have solved a little bit more. But the fact that she put up resistance was like, oh, no, this is my birthright. Then he's like, okay, I'm about to take it from you.
I'm with you on that. See, that because you guys are both right in
Good
your
point.
Own right. Because that's the thing. She knows the history.
Mm-hmm.
If she didn't know the history, if she legitimately was ignorant, like, because Tilda's like ignorant to stuff.
Yeah.
True. Yeah.
So she is a true innocent bystander in the whole Stokes, beef. But she knows the deal.
Yeah.
She knows the history. She knows the story. Mama Mabel told her the story. She was around there and then.
She
still is like, nah, it is what it is.
If she wanted to do the right thing, she could have. But absolutely. She's like, nah.
Yeah, offered him something. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like a little bit of the nightclub. Half. On Tuesday, Wednesday. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Tuesdays and Wednesdays.
Tuesdays and Wednesdays. Oh, that's cold-blooded. It's Bushmaster night. Tuesdays.
So I thought he was being poetic, but he literally meant Mariah must burn. I thought he was meant like figuratively. Nope. Oh, the brother man literally.
He has pizzazz.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I'm telling you that.
You were not wrong.
Yeah, yeah. He's I love him.
Theatricality, man. Mm-hmm. This dude has pageantry, man. So like he sets fire to the crib, trying to burn her alive. He thinks twice, however. Lets Tilda go, realizes there's still part of a human in Bushmaster. He goes, wait a minute.
I liked that.
Yeah, so did I. He was like, wait a minute, you ain't got, be better than me. Be better
that
than
was
this.
Dumb.
Yeah. Oh, no, I'm just saying. He
was, that was dumb.
No, she didn't do anything wrong.
She could have easily untied her mom, dragged her mom
out.
Oh,
that part. Yeah that she just stood there looking at her like, what do I do? I had that thought too. I was like, what you doing, lady?
gave her a way out. Yeah. I don't understand why these villains try to make a kill and never watch the person die. It's like, boom, boom, I'm going to shoot you in the toe or the leg and I'm going to walk away.
First of all, I don't know. I ain't know how many burning buildings you've been in before. Uh-huh. But fire catch quick, man.
But why not watch the door or watch the exes or something?
Oh, come on. Cops! Bushmaster, like,
you can tell I haven't planned any crime. But yeah. I'm going to stay there and let the cops come get me.
Oh, no. Like, in the Jamaican, they don't want to see any Jamaican flags near this crib. Like, we out.
Would you leave someone there who could save her?
Yeah.
You would?
Because I'm Bushmaster and I need her. I need her. Even if I don't know, I need her. Like, there's no one else that could even cultivate this unless he goes to Jamaica. Mm. So in the back of his mind, he's thinking like, man, I can't just kill her.
To be honest, I thought he left her because he says a line saying, I'm going to see if you can save your mom since I couldn't save mine.
Oh, no. Like,
I thought it was more.
No, I'm with you on that. Mm-hmm. I just think subconsciously, even like, part of, like, in this whole thing with Anansi still in his head, like, I think there's like human moment. They wanted to show you humans out of Bushmaster. He been killing people left and right.
Yeah.
He saved one person. Why not? You know what I mean?
That's dumb.
That's why he's a hero.
This is what it all builds up to. You want to kill Mariah, and then when you finally get her to yourself and you're going to kill her, you leave someone to save her.
Well, I think Eddie, he told me it's Eddie.
Yeah.
Eddie. Said it's like shooting someone in the kneecap. You don't want to maximize penalty. So yeah, that's why he left and just kind of let it be like, I'm just going to assume that this fire is going to take care of it. Okay. It's a big fire.
It's a fire. She
did. Yeah.
So he takes his place on the throne, whether it's temporary or not.
Mm-hmm. And it looks good on him.
Oh, you see your boy, because he came with the new three-piece. He came on with the one joint he was getting tailored up then. Mm-hmm. With the three-piece on, man. Oh, my goodness. Stephen Marley was in there killing it. And
Somebody mentioned that was
amazing.
The best. I got to find it.
It was fire.
The best. I don't know about y'all, Reese Anderson, but the Marley live performance, Run Them Out, was the best performance at Harlem Paradise of the whole season so far.
That was fire.
That was goosebumps. Awesome.
So you see him and he's toasting to all the Jamaicans. We got the Bushmaster rum. You know, Bushmaster smelling himself right now.
Oh, he's
so,
that dude now.
Oh, my goodness.
He's that dude at this point.
Got the money. Got Harlem's paradise.
Yep.
How do you feel? Do you think this is going to... It's borrowed time. Do you think it's good to give him this moment for once?
I think it's good to give him this moment for once. And I also, I just thought of this going back to, did you notice earlier in the season, before the nightclub had been taken over by... Bushmaster, when Mariah still had it, they had the Marley there doing his like warm up, getting ready for it.
Yes.
And that was, why would she have reggae music playing there? That the whole tone of the show has been, the reggae has been in
Bushmaster's night.
Yeah, Bushmaster. And then it's been jazz in Harlem's Paradise. Mm-hmm. I wonder if that was foreshadowing that Bushmaster was going to get it.
I love that.
Yeah.
And I've always loved that. That was like, it was really nice change of pace. I don't know if it was like just irony or like, you know, like Meme was like, yeah, I'm going to just put some Jamaican stuff.
Yeah, because that normally wouldn't make any sense.
she's cold blooded. Yeah. Boy, I'll tell you what. So we, we see Luke Cage, and just like you said, since Bushmaster didn't check to see if anybody died, Luke Cage.
Worst kill ever. The worst kill. Out of top 10 killings on Luke Cage, the worst.
Luke Cage,
did he halfway cut off Piranha's head and put it like, in, you know what I mean? Put it halfway in the tank. No, you cut the head off all the way, and then you put it in the cage.
He's the hero. The hero can't always kill people. Luke Cage gets killed, Tilda and MMA out. They're at the police station now. Mm-hmm. Isn't it funny that now that Mamie needs protection from the police, and you know Misty, she ain't too thrilled about it. So what's your thought process on how this is going? Like, you know, Mamie in the police station, Tilda there. How long can this last, the protection of the New York Police Department?
Yeah, I think it's interesting that it's like a... balance thing where, like, she's up and down, up and down, up and down. At some point, she's running away from the cops, and I think it's kind of cool that at the end of the day, when someone's trying to kill her, that's the ones that's trying to save her, or that's where she goes to take refuge, or should I say.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And now she's kind of like, please help me. You know what I mean? And at one point, the people that were trying to kill her, it just keeps shifting to me. Like, they try to kill her at one point, or not kill her, but put her in jail at one point, and then the next part is they're like, no, don't kill her, let's save her. Mm-hmm. It's like, make up your mind. Yeah. Do you want her in jail? I mean, do you want her dead? Do you want her alive? Because mm-hmm. there's instances in the show where Luke will be like, this is the last time I'll save you. Next mm-hmm. time you're dead. Mm-hmm. And Misty will even be like, next time you're gone. See,
but Misty wants her dead. Like, yeah. there's no question about it in my mind. Like, Misty does not care if she lives or dies.
No.
And she's not like Luke Cage. If she was if she was Luke Cage, I think she'd have killed her a while ago.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Misty makes no bones about it. Like,
she told Luke, she's like, you should have just let her burn.
Yeah.
She plays no games. Was not happy that he saved her. And I think that that's just Luke Cage's humanity coming out, where yeah. no matter how bad the person is, he can't let someone die, and he can't kill someone. He's too much of, I don't know if I want to say a human being, but yeah, he's like too much of a human being. Is anyone
you
else
say that? That's cool.
But yeah, he's just too much of a human being to let that happen. Mm. And so even if it's against his better judgment or against anyone else's, mm-hmm. he has to save a life of someone in need. And also, I think he might have done it a lot for her daughter, for Tilda. I think that part of it might have been that.
Absolutely. Yeah, and it's interesting. We see that Misty takes her badge back after she realizes and gets the word that her Captain Rittenhouser has been killed.
Yeah.
I think she felt it was her duty yeah. to take the badge back. They didn't process the papers, so she's like, let me just get back on.
Very convenient.
Slide back on over. Slide
very convenient.
Back.
Papers weren't processed. Yeah. So let me... I like to see Misty back in her groove, though, forever how long. She's very upset. And just when she's about to get in her groove.
True.
You talk about it last week, man.
Yeah.
She
was there.
She was in the bar, about to get her swerve on.
Yeah. I like that moment. So I love how she just let go, and she's like, I'm gonna get me some.
You know what?
My favorite part is when I don't know if you guys noticed this, is when they start off the scene, her talk to the guy in the bar, it starts off the close up of him rubbing her metallic hand. And he's rubbing her like yes. she can feel it or something. He's just like rubbing her fingers yeah, yeah. of iron. He was getting turned on by that hand, boy.
He was like, good to go. He was like, yo, what's yeah. up? And you see that moment, you know, when she's like, you know what? I deserve me a. Let me get this dude. Yes. That's a good looking brother over there.
Yes.
Let me go over there. And then they got good that phone her. Call, and then she got she goes, the world better be on fire.
Seriously.
And it was on fire. You know, when one of her mentors was killed by command.
And they ended on a fight, too. That's the sad part.
Yeah.
They ended on an argument.
The last thing she said. She questioned his integrity.
Yeah.
She questioned his mm-hmm. intentions. And that was the last thing she said. Oh, that was deep, man.
That's rough.
The worst. Why do people always die once you get in an argument? You know, people usually, well, I don't know. I'm not going to say that. You never, like, someone ever passed away and it was after you got in a fight?
Yo, it's one of those things. It's those lost moments that you wish mm-hmm. you would have been. Like, the captain always knew what kind of person she was. She has to live with that, but the captain knew that she was just angry for certain things going on. That's why he was so patient about it.
And that's why he said that you know where to find me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He anticipated her coming back.
Yes.
And he knew. Yeah,
and then we get word that, you know, Luke Cage is alive. Bushmaster finds that Luke Cage is alive. He puts a hit out. Like, listen, I don't care. Do what you got to do. Police station, I don't care if she on the moon. She got to die.
Yeah.
You know, so we get Bushmaster. He's back. Like I said, he's back in his groove now. He needs more Nightshade. He's crazy with that. He's the hero of the show. No one ever
yeah.
He's going to call this new season 3, Bushmaster. So now we start to see, like, what Bushmaster is willing to do to mm-hmm. get to her. You know, like, I don't think he really cares about Tilda that much. I think he's really more worried about Miss Mariah Stokes.
Yeah.
Luke Cage trying to connect with Tilda, trying to get some info out of her. What do you guys think his intentions are with that?
That was clever. Mm-hmm. I think that was very clever because mm-hmm. he can also appeal to her humanity, and she's always been a little bit on the fence about her mom, everything that happened with her mom. Her mom finally told her everything, and she came back, but was still just like,
yeah.
I don't think she fully agrees. So mm-hmm. I think that was really smart for him to kind of, that's the weak spot.
Great strategy.
Yeah.
Plus, her being a doctor, she took a doctor's oath to help people.
Right.
So her mom being a person that, so say, hurt so many people, takes so many lives, that has to conflict with her morals
yes.
as a doctor.
Yes. It's really cool to see that, like, that dynamic, and just good to see what, like, Luke is willing to do. Like, you know what? I can sense that. They in a rough patch right now. Let me convince you that how bad Mariah is. Let me chill a little bit and see if you give me some intel.
And she did. Yeah, and she started singing like a bird, man. And then my mama, and then she did. And it's like, wait.
Hold on, wait a minute. I ain't trying to write your story.
So the beginning. And then last week, you know.
Like, damn. But like, so Shades and Mariah have this moment I thought they should have had a while ago. It was tensions building. There was things that you like, listen, Shades been wanting to tell Mariah, I told you so, for a while.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
This is the moment in that burn building.
Yes.
I just like to see, I love the shot of them together, and they had an argument that they needed to have. It's like, no, boo boo, I told you.
And she tried to blame him.
Sure did.
She was like, this is all because of you. And he, I'm sorry, he's been doing nothing but everything Team for Ryan. Her the whole season.
Oh my goodness, he killed Comanche for that woman.
He killed his love of his life.
Yes.
He killed the love of his life. Listen, Theo Rossi, man, who plays Shades, man, he's a bad boy, man. Shout out to you, boy. He's a bad boy. He was like, wait, hold on, what? Like, I've done everything for you. You have no idea. He's like, this is not what gangsters do. She goes, what do gangsters do? Oh. He goes, they adapt, they boogie. Mm-hmm. That's what they do.
Stay strong.
Yeah. He goes, this is what we're going to do. We're going to handle business. He goes, what are we going to do? He said, what do you say? Make a food truck? He goes, do this. He goes, this is not over.
It was gangster, yeah.
Yeah, this is not over.
Don't write us off.
Yeah, he's like, I know a couple things that we're going to do to get back at Bushmaster, because he's cocky and he's arrogant. What do you see about that scene as far as seeing their dynamic and the evolution of it and where it's at now? What are you guys thinking about that?
I think it's interesting because they're realizing that they really, really need each other in this moment. I mean, it's Mariah more than Shades, because I feel like Shades could cut his losses and, and just leave. But Mariah is realizing how much she needs him. And I think they've been fighting more and more as the season's progressed. Like, it's been happening throughout the season. So they come from being super tight to more and more disagreements as more outside influences come in. And then now we're to a point where Mariah's realizing, I have no one but Shades. She says she has her daughter, but that's iffy.
No.
I'm a little iffy on that one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. She's not from the streets. So.
It's different. I think she's really realizing how much she needs Shades, and that's why it very much softened at the end. She realized, oh, I need to calm down because I need this man.
And he needs her, too, after killing his lover. He probably wants to just open his heart up and
who
just
does
tell
he
her,
have now?
I am struggling over this, you know, but I guess he wasn't sure how she would feel about it. So in that moment, I think they needed each other.
Absolutely.
And they bonded over the first murder, and now this murder, well, murder slash take all my money slash a whole bunch of things.
Yeah.
But I think this was their next moment of reuniting, getting back stronger.
Yeah, and it was good they had that small scene on Comanche's mother, and it was deep. That one was deep.
That was sad.
Whew, that was deep.
Keep your friends closer and your enemies closer. Your friends close and your enemies closer.
Because he knows what he did, but he also knows how much he loved that woman, and it was just interesting to see, because just getting back to the part you're saying, he has nobody.
Mm-hmm.
That was because he knows that's probably the last time he's really going to see her. He's going to have somebody send money to her. Doesn't Shades...
He didn't leave much, though, right? What do you guys think?
That looked like a little 500. That's like a whole bunch of hundreds.
A lot of hundreds.
But he didn't tell her this is going to be a one-time thing. I'm going to come back and make installments.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He ain't never got to worry about money ever again. But doesn't, like Shades, like you were saying, doesn't Shades strike you as a person that really doesn't need this? He strikes you as a person that's like stacked his money away.
Oh, yeah.
And he has a nice little chunk of money, and he could just roll out. What do you think keeps him there besides Mariah? Honestly, what keeps him in the hood? Because I know that dude can roll out. He stacks his money, man.
Maybe he has. I'm thinking it's possibly because he has too much of a connection to that area, and he can't see himself living anywhere else.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, I guess he could leave the city and start over in California or Oklahoma or something.
Yeah,
Oklahoma. But if you are from Harlem, like, that's where you live. And I think maybe he wanted to build a life there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'll say loyalty. For Mariah, respect out of you help me, you know, we can win it together, that partnership between the two. And I think he's very much invested into Harlem Paradise as if he started it from the beginning.
Like
that is his home.
He loves that place.
And he told her at one episode, like, you can leave, just sell me Harlem's
Paradise.
Take whatever you want to do. Take the vagina, take everything with you in a nice package, but leave the Harlem Paradise.
Yeah, he loves that spot. So we got the Jamaicans, they shooting up churches, they shooting that Mother's Touch, they shooting up precincts. They get to the point where Luke Cage and Mariah, and they have to, like, leave, they have to vacate the area.
Yeah.
And, like, they're like, yo, listen, let's hit up Danny Rand. Endless. Oh yeah, I was like excited about that. I was like, okay, shout out to Iron Fist. So they head to Danny's, and what do you think? Are we gonna see Iron Fist? Or you think you're just gonna see like a Rand building, and then that's just gonna be it? Are we gonna get Danny Rand in the next episode?
He's coming.
He's coming around.
Coming with that golden fist. He's coming. He's coming. He's gonna light it up with that one fist, man. He's gonna light the streets up.
I like the way they ended it. I like that Luke had to finally ask for help.
Yes.
It's okay to ask for help.
And also, they're best friends in the con. I want to see that. They're best friends.
Yeah.
I want to see that dynamic so badly played out on screen, because you saw a little bit of it in the Defenders with their little back and forth.
Yeah.
And you could just see what a perfect team they make.
Absolutely.
Because they're so different, but they're so hilarious when they're together.
Absolutely. That's like Power Man and Iron Fist is like a comic. It's a hell of a comic too. And they are like best friends. So it's good to see.
Yeah.
Hope I get that dynamic. But that's it for us.
That's all she wrote, folks.
Listen, we're going to be back full panel next week. Shaka Strong going to be back, man, holding it down. Ladies, where can these AfterBuzzers find you? Please talk to me.
Okay. It's Funny Sarai on Instagram and Facebook. Instagram and Twitter. FUNNYSAYRIE. And Sarai Comedian on Facebook. Also, Tuesdays, catch me talking about the 100 right here at AfterBuzz, 10 p.m.
All right. You can find me on Instagram at Zia_Land. It's XIA_LAND. And also this Sunday for Marvel TV Weekly, we'll be covering more Luke Cage.
Yeah. Oh, shout out to everybody in the chat. I appreciate y'all. Y'all keep it fun. Y'all keep it funky. Keep it coming. Evan T. Mack. Follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Evan T. Mack. All you have to buzz is I appreciate you. See you next week. Peace.
Bye.
We both waved.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz. See you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.